97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
The great sportsman like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's. Reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
Tom Ackerman in studio now. Carl Middleman is heated. When I walked into the studio this morning, the show hadn't even started, and Carl's already complaining about what happened at the Mizzou game.
Look, there are not many people I love more in this business than Carl Middleman. I'll be honest with you.
Thank you, Tom.
This is my guy.
But, Tom, I'll give you the $10 I offer to pay you to say that.
That said, I mean, you know, look, did they throw it? I mean, you run the ball, and you just try to get out of there. I mean, it's, you know, it's very impressive that they shut out Buffalo, and they've shut out two teams in a row.
Yeah, now they're number six, right?
38-0's nothing. I mean, that's not running it up. The spread was, what, 35? 34.5?
But it was already 31 tonight.
So what? I mean, Indiana won 77-3 against Western Illinois. I felt awful. I was listening to it. I'm like, oh,
you didn't
God.
Feel awful.
Yes, I did. 70. We don't need to score 77 points against
see,
anybody.
See, now you think they ran up the score?
Just get out of there. I mean, Western Illinois, I was listening to the radio broadcast, and they're like, man, Western Illinois looked like they did not want to be here during warmups. And I felt bad for him, honestly. I mean, and I've my school has not been in this position where they can put 77 points on air. I mean, they just, you know, so I don't know. It's 38-0. That's half of what we had that day.
Yeah, I'd say who cares? Good for Mizzou.
You know, and Mizzou's the sixth ranked team in the country. I mean, they're going to, I don't even know if they were playing. I didn't pay that close of attention late in the game. I kind of lost interest in it after they were doing their thing, but they probably ran out some second and third string guys. They're not going to just sit there. They want to show off a little bit too. So, you know what I mean? I'm not worried about it, but I'm happy for Missouri. Now it's going to start getting a little different.
Do you think they would have been high as six if Notre Dame hadn't blown it?
No. I don't know. Oregon and Penn State definitely wouldn't move up because those two didn't look good either. Oregon played a good Boise State team, beat them by, I think, a field goal. And then Penn State, really rough time against Bowling Green. They should have destroyed them and won by only a touchdown. So those two didn't move. Tennessee moved up to seven. Six of the top seven are SEC teams, by the way. Missouri jumping three spots surprised me a little bit, but it is because Notre Dame got bounced by Northern Illinois, and one of the most amazing things I've seen. I loved
that
every second of it.
That interview was great.
Oh, so good. So good. I love seeing it. And that's not it. I'm not like knocking Notre Dame. It's just a great – that's why I watch sports, because I like when things are unpredictable. Predictable sports are no fun.
Mm-hmm.
You want unpredictable. Mm-hmm. This is why we tune in to see reality TV.
That's why they play the games.
It's why we root for the underdog.
It's the original reality TV. So cool. Anyway, Mizzou 6. With that will come high expectations. Missouri is no longer the underdog. They can't play that card anymore. Mm-hmm. They are not just going to suddenly show up on the radar. They are targeted now by every team. Here comes Boston College. And they beat Florida State in Tallahassee, and they're ranked now. So they are a disciplined football team with Bill O'Brien as the coach. Missouri should handle them, but it'll be a closer game than what you saw these first two games.
You know, Scott was talking about the Cardinals, and I feel like we were all excited when they took the series with the Brewers. Like, wow, they did it. And then not so much with the Mariners.
No, it's been a difficult season, and you know, even if they went on a run here and won the last 19 games of the season and made the playoffs, they still have to make changes.
They have that one year. Was it a couple years
ago?
They
won 17 in a row.
17 in a row. I remember that.
Mike Schultz last year, and then he got fired.
Yeah,
that's true. But even if they did that, they're going to make changes, mm-hmm. and they're not going to. I don't think it's going to be Ollie Marmol. I think it's going to be in the area of development. So I talked to John Mozeliak about it yesterday. Gary LaRock, their head of player development, retired. And while they love Gary and he's had a great career, he sees this as an opportunity, John does, to get some help for the drafting and developing of this franchise. He said that is still the key to winning. And I asked him if he would go within the organization or is this a chance to look outside to the teams that are doing it right and bring people in. He said, I got to tell you, it's already done. Mm-hmm. We've already done that. So the interviews are going to be underway here soon. So they are going to make changes, as he said, within the organization in terms of drafting, developing players. I have to assume that also means hiring, maybe spending more resources on instructors down in spring training and in the minor league system to grow this. And then, as I've said, you have the resources at that point to patch whatever holes you have with free agents. So you go spend the big bucks on a free agent to patch whatever you don't develop and draft. And that's the way the Cardinals just have to do this thing. Mozeliak also basically told me he's not going anywhere. I mean, he said, you know, as I reflect on my career and I look back, and he's like, I'm not ready to do that just yet, to call it just yet. So Mozeliak's going to be around for another year. His contract runs out in 2025, and then he's going to have a succession plan for himself and try to redo what this, they have to do it all throughout this organization and recapture what they used to be.
Mm-hmm. What about the Blues? I know Carl is very excited for
camp.
October, well,
the 15th. The Blues went out and they took, see, that's one thing. The Blues did something the Cardinals didn't do.
Got people.
No, the Cardinals did not tell their fans that, you know, they didn't get to this point. It took them a little while to get to the point and say, we're not doing this right anymore. The Blues did that. The Blues are like, hey, hi, I'm Doug Armstrong. We won a Stanley Cup, but you know what? We're not doing this right, and that's on us. And so we're going to retool here, but we're going to stay competitive. But I just want you to ride this out with us. We're going to get younger. We're going to make some moves. And they've done exactly what they said. They were very transparent with their fans. And the Cardinals now are going to do that. I don't blame anybody who comes to Busch Stadium. They had or doesn't. I mean, the fans were great over the weekend. The fans are great, even though they don't show up. The fans of the Cardinals are great, period. End of story. It is not anything to do with them. And they will be back. They're there. They're just showing you they're not happy right now, mm-hmm. and they want to get back to what they used to be.
Yeah, I don't know how often or how many times they can be like, it's a rebuilding year.
Yeah, well, the Cardinals haven't said that.
No, I know. It's just like you can't peg it on that. You know, it's like people are going to have high expectations after
for sure
the disastrous.
You know,
season.
The Blues now are so the fans get to watch the team get younger, but they are still competitive. I think the Blues could be a playoff team. They have enough experienced players that they've added
Carl,
to this mix.
I hope so.
Strong reaction there.
You don't think so?
I'm looking forward to see
the buzzer guy. The Blues buzzer guy is not as optimistic.
I don't think they're going to go win the cup, but I think they could be one of the top 8 teams in the West.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they can. It depends on, of course, Thomas Kyrou and some of these younger players that they're growing that have to be, you know, great now.
You know what I love? You're the ultimate optimist. With St. Louis sports.
I'm just realistic. They're good enough to make the playoffs. They're not going to go win the cup. I mean, if they go win the cup, that would be unbelievable. That'd be the shock of the world.
That'd be 2019.
Kim, you know? Lauren, of course, is reminding you that you need to mention Illinois.
Oh, that's right. If we mention Mizzou, we have to mention Illinois.
I do. And I do have to go do an interview here in a minute. But let me give you a minute
you're
on Illinois.
Give it to
him. Illinois had a great win on Saturday. They beat Kansas. The ranked team that is no longer ranked. And the only reason Illinois is not ranked at this moment is because of Northern Illinois. Northern Illinois beating Notre Dame, they're now 25th in the country, and they should be. But Illinois beat Kansas. They did it at home. It was a great crowd. And the one thing that Illinois is doing now that it didn't do last year is win close games. Illinois is a different team than they were last year. They scored 10 points in the fourth quarter. They shut out Kansas in the fourth quarter. They are playing solid defense. They're doing what they have to do on offense. They did a terrific job. And Brett Bielema said that he was excited about this Illinois team. And so far, so good. They're 2-0, and they're going to be 3-0. They'll win this next game, too. And the Big Ten schedule will be tough. And there will be some tough games for them. But I see them as a bowl team now. I mean, that's a huge hurdle that they cleared there. Beating Kansas at home was one they had to get. They were underdogs in the game. They proved everybody wrong. They beat Kansas, and now it's time to shine. I think Illinois is on the rise for sure.
All right, Tom. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, as a Mizzou alum, I'm always going to root against Kansas. You have to.
You do.
You do.
You should.
Well, just like every time Scott Jagow has said that the Rams lost, you've done an applause.
Yeah.
You're very, you are. I mean, I think we all would probably clap at that. How many Rams fans are left in the city of St. Louis?
There are some.
2%, actually.
Yeah, okay, so a whopping 2%.
Yeah, because they just did a survey.
Oh.
And you're not one of them, are you?
No, he's Buffalo.
I'm a Buffalo Bills fan.
Oh, okay.
No, The survey was interesting. It was across the state of Missouri, 43% of people said they were Chiefs fans. Do you want to guess the second favorite team in Missouri in the NFL?
If I had, would I worked for the Rams for 10 years. I'm going to say it's the Green Bay Packers.
You're close. That's third.
Really?
There's another team ahead of them. Again, these are small percentages. The Chiefs are 43. The second team is 4%.
Oh, Bears?
Nope.
Vikings?
Nope. America's team.
Oh, yeah, Dallas.
Dallas Cowboys.
Really?
Yeah.
Texas? Why the Dallas Cowboys?
Because they're America's team.
They're that team.
Whatever.
They
bought
into
the hype.
As long as you're
rooting for them. They haven't won anything in 30 years.
If you're a Rams fan, it's kind of like a lot of people who secretly want to support Donald Trump, but they're embarrassed to say that they're voting for him. They're like, I'm a Rams fan. I don't want you to know it, but I like them still.
But I think what's worse are former Rams fans who became Chiefs fans. That's worse.
Well, that's their, because that's the Chiefs. That's probably
because
me.
Lamar
I would
Hunt
support
voted
the, I'm
to
support
yes,
the Chiefs
thank you,
now.
Carl. Because
I know
Chiefs
I
voted to get the Rams out of here.
Well, a lot of Taylor Swift fans are obsessed with the Chiefs now, not because of the team, but because Taylor Swift's boyfriend plays for them. My gosh!
Get more at 971talk.com.